remember the little piece of paper Randall handed Mike, Dave?
1 Peter 3:21.
Somebody, that's a memory verse. What does that say? Anybody have it memorized? Shout it out. Except Virgil. Virgil cannot do it. He did it last week. He can't do it. What's that?
In like manner, baptism does also now save us, not the cleansing of the flesh, but the response of a good heart, good conscience toward God.
Okay. Close enough. Now baptism saves you also. That's what was on the piece of paper that Randall handed Mike. So what did Mike do with it? You guys remember what he did? He took it, looked it over. His buddy looked at it. The following Sunday, he went to church, took it to his pastor. What did he do with it? Went to his pastor and said, "Hey, tell me about this verse. What does this say? Do you guys remember?"
They called it a work.
Okay. All right. Okay. Here's what the pastor said. I wrote it down here. "Don't worry about it," he said. "It's taken out of context." He's talking about 1 Peter 3:21. He says, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "We're saved by grace through faith, not works." He says, baptism is a work. That's what the preacher said. So Mike, he says, "Oh, okay." Takes it and writes that verse down, and he says, "I'm loaded for bear. I'm going to go see Randall Monday, tomorrow morning." Remember that? Mike said that he was not a Bible scholar. He never really read the Bible, but all of a sudden he became one. And he's going to go show Randall that it's a work. So he went in the next day. Did the Bible discussion when he found him the next day in the workplace. How did that go? How did that discussion go with Randall? Did it go as Mike intended?
No, not at all.
Not at all? Why?
First of all, they didn't get into Mike was expecting sort of an argument or a fight, and it didn't happen that way.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, page 41. Mike said that Randall disarmed him. He disarmed him. Listen what Mike said. Randall said, "Mr. Mike, you're absolutely correct about faith, and I'm proud of your willingness to study your Bible. Man," he says, "you're doing good. You're doing great. God tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says that we are to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What did Randall do there in that situation?
Well, he kind of put it in his court, made him feel like, doing his due diligence by looking into the Bible about the verses that he's giving.
Okay.
He built him up.
Okay.
We are so quick to pounce on something to show that we are right, and Randall listened and built him up, showing the love of Christ right there instead of just, chop him off at the knees.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times we want to say, "Can't you get it? Is your head that hard?" I kind of get that way sometimes, especially with family. Because I came from the Baptist background, so I know what it's like. But Randall praised Mike. He praised him. That's something that we should think about. Does that remind you of anything else or anybody else in Scripture?
Brilliant.
What's that?
Brilliant.
Go ahead. Okay. What about the praising part? If you know that somebody is taking something out of context or something isn't right, what about praising him first? Reminds me of what Jesus did to the churches in Asia in Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 2. To the church in Ephesus. Listen how Jesus handled this situation. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands says this, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance and that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Praised him. Then look at verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. He started out by praising them. Did you guys see that? He starts out by praising them. It actually works if you're a manager in any position with employees. Always start out praising them before you bring up the thing you have against them. Because then they don't build up the wall, the fence right away. And that works the same way here. It's an example Jesus gave us as well. Randall followed it as well. Here's something that we can take from this. Mike said, I went prepared for a Bible fight. Like Dave said a bit ago, I went prepared for a Bible battle, and he was not fighting. In reality, his persona magnified something I'd rarely seen in others who wore the Christian label. That was love and humility. That's something we can all take from that. People who wear the Christian label, we call ourselves Christian. Do we have love? Do we have humility within us? Keep that in mind. He also said later on, Randall is encouraging, meek, respectful, full of Christian love and God's grace. Randall mentioned, Mike mentioned that about Randall. That's something that we have to keep in our minds when we're serving with others as well and trying to convert somebody to show them the truth. At the end of the discussion, Randall wanted Mike to take one simple verse to bed with him that night. What was it? Do you guys remember? Chapter 5. Somebody read 2 Peter 3:16. 2 Peter 3:16. Somebody have it?
As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, wherein are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast rest, as they do also in other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
So it says that some of the scriptures are hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort. We wanted him to think about this. As they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. It's talking about, we got people, there's spiritual ignorance here. They don't take the time to actually study. And what does it say? What are things that are in context? Remember what he said about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? He says, it's a work. Let's go back here. I'll jump back here in my notes a little bit. He said it was a work. Baptism was a work. We're saved by grace through faith. Let's go look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 real quick. It says, for by faith, or by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, no one should boast. What was happening here at this time? Does anybody know?
Talking about the context passage?
Yeah.
The Jewish Christians were trying to tell the Gentile Christians they basically had to keep the law.
They had to live the law, the old law. And they had to be physically circumcised.
Part of keeping the law.
What's that?
That's part of keeping the law.
Yep. Physically circumcised. He says that's the work, was the physical, the circumcision. But it's Christ that came. And so they took it out of context. He took it as, you know, we just have to believe and have faith. But talking, you don't have to live by the old law at the time. So you see that people can take and distort and turn things around if you're not. Were you going to say something, Dave? Oh, okay. We're not studying. Any other comments? Did that make sense to you? Anybody confused? Okay. At the end of chapter 5, Mike came to what conclusion? At the end of chapter 5, what was the conclusion he came to after reading and Randall showing him Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? What the true context was of that? Anybody remember? He didn't support the faith only doctrine anymore. Or that's what he said. He said, I'm not going to support that doctrine anymore. Randall kind of showed him. He also said he wasn't going to, he didn't want to be guilty of wristing of the scriptures. What does wristing mean? I hope I'm saying that right. Resting of the scriptures. W-R-E-S-T-I-N-G. Am I pronouncing that right? Resting of the scriptures. I looked it up because I didn't even know what it meant. Does anybody know what that means?
Twisting.
Okay. I looked it up. Here's what the dictionary says. Distort or twist the meaning or nature of something. He says he didn't want to be wristing of the scriptures. Which I don't think want to be guilty of doing. Okay, in your opinion, this is your opinion, what did Randall do that impressed Mike the most through this? What did Randall do that impressed Mike the most?
Just, I think, praising him and not beating him down about the verse. I think he was expecting, you know, some resistance on that verse, and he didn't get that whatsoever.
Okay. Somebody else had a hand up over here.
He defended his position.
Okay. Defended his position. Yeah, the thing that jumped out at me, in my opinion, and this is what jumped out at me that impressed me the most, was the way that he took the fight out of him, like you mentioned. He calmed the whole situation down. Because Mike was, he was loaded, he said. He was ready to go. I mean, not physically, but... He was ready to show him that he was wrong. But the thing that I liked the most was that Mike mentioned that he had love and humility. So that's probably the biggest thing that we have to keep in our minds, the love and the humility. And that can be sometimes kind of hard, like I said. To us, sometimes it looks so simple. How come you can't understand it? I mean, it's right here in writing. What part of this do you not understand, Verge? And we sometimes get a little bit worked up. Any other comments on chapter 5 before we go to chapter 6? We kind of moved through that one kind of quick. Chapter 6 on your cards, your memorization cards. You guys ready to write some more? Here we go. Have you guys been memorizing this? Linda said she has. Yeah? Some of these, a lot of these are pretty, we should have them all pretty much memorized. I shouldn't say that because I don't, but a lot of these we read a lot, so some of these should stick in our minds. Okay, Acts 2:47. Write that one down. Colossians 1:18. We got Acts 2:47, Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 5:23. Then they had Acts 20 and 28 written down, and that was a couple weeks ago. Write it down again anyway. Chapter 6. On your handouts I gave you, if you look, I'll open it up here. You guys probably have this one right here. This one shows the name of the group, Lutheran, Roman Catholic, Church of England. Kind of tells you when they started, who was the originator. So you guys can kind of have that for your notes. So if you're studying with somebody that is, you know, Baptist or Lutheran, you kind of have an idea of the background a little bit. and how they started. Okay. People outside of the Church of Christ commonly state this. That denomination believes that they're the only ones going to heaven. How many misunderstandings and discuss how many the many misunderstandings and false perceptions people have about the Lord's church. Remember Kyle, his buddy in the office says, don't go study with Randall. That guy, his denomination thinks they're the only ones going to heaven. Remember that? What are some misunderstandings about the church people have about us? Lena?
So I grew up in that first group, this Assembly of God Church.
Okay.
And we studied this exact same Bible.
Okay.
And so when I talk with my family, we have discussions, they don't understand why I have the views that I do now, because it feels very works-based to them. So it's really interesting, the viewpoint that they have on all churches of Christ, that it's just, you have to do things to earn your way to heaven, is what they see.
Okay.
As the type of church that I go to, which obviously it's an ongoing discussion within the family. But I did want to point out, it's really interesting when you were talking about the last chapter in the works. There's specific verses growing up in that kind of church that you're taught to memorize. And they're very different. I mean, they're still verses from the Bible. John 3:16, huge. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's like from birth and all that. And then Romans 10:9, which is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. Those are the verses you'll hear over and over and over when you sit here and try to talk about baptism and why it's important. Because they'll go to those verses and say, well, that's not what that says. This is not what that says. That says, that all you have to do is believe. But then when you get in deeper discussions, you talk about James, when he talks about the faith-based works, the fact that, let me see if I can find it, that even the demons believed, that believing is not enough,
Yeah.
And so it's like, at what point do you take it from being a work to being obedient by faith?
That's James 2.
It's interesting, the whole sinner's prayer thing. You're taught to say out loud a sinner's prayer. But that, in my opinion, just as much of a work. You have to physically say something out loud. That's no different than, getting dunked in water. I just don't understand the resistance. I'm still trying to figure out why there's such a resistance. But I had the same resistance when I started studying about, this, everything the Bible really says.
Okay.
So it's interesting because you use the same exact Bible.
So, I don't want to get too far here. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He was only begotten son. I go through this too with my side of the family. But if you look at John 3:5, you got to answer to that one too. Just before he says that. Unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Look at verse 36 of chapter 3.
He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him.
Which one was that?
3:36. John 3:36.
3:21 says, but he who does the truth comes to the light. I mean, there's an action there, doing something.
But mine says he who practices the truth comes to light, maybe manifested. Okay, good comment. Is the church, because Kyle said we're a denomination. Is the church a denomination?
Depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
If you're a person that is not of the Church of Christ persuasion and you see Church of Christ on the placard on above the door and you see Baptist Church over here, whatever, and you ask him, is the Church of Christ a denomination? Denomination means part of the whole. If you're looking at all of Christianity, Christendom, in, say, just the United States, you'd say, yes, it's part of the whole. It's a denomination. It's just another group.
Okay.
Now, if you're probably talking about Christ's body, well, yeah, you're going to talk about that. So I
was just waiting for you. Who thinks we're a denomination?
Who what?
Are we a denomination? Okay, we won't. We'll answer that right now. Okay, somebody read Genesis chapter 6, 13 and 14. Let's jump back here. Let's go all the way back to Genesis 6, 13 and 14. Somebody read that. Yes, sir. Genesis 6, 13 and 14.
So God said to Noah, I have decided that all living creatures must die, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I'm about to destroy them and the earth. Make yourselves an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it with pitch inside and out.
How many arks were there? Three? Was there a fleet? Like the Navy has a fleet? Now we see one, right? We've learned that since we were in kindergarten. Yeah, there was an ark. An ark. One, singular. Look, it's Genesis. Jump over to Genesis 7. 21, 23. Somebody read 21 and 23. Through 23. Genesis 7, 21 through 23. Not everybody read at once.
Do I have your permission to read?
Go, yes, you have my permission to read.
Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Is that right?
Through 23.
Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Everything on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark.
Was anyone saved outside the ark? Nobody lived. Somebody read 1 Peter 3:20 and 21 again. That's a memory verse. Remember that memory verse? We just did it. Somebody could recite it, right? 1 Peter 3:20 and 21. Jump in here. Somebody have it?
Corresponding to that, baptism not saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Let me go back here. Who has, what version was that?
American Standard.
Okay. Anybody have an NIV? Okay. Somebody read that one.
And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mine says, who were once disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in it, in which a few, that is, eight persons were brought safely through the water. How many were saved? Eight people. Did anybody, was anybody saved outside the ark? We just answered that. Why was Noah saved?
He obeyed.
What's that?
He obeyed.
He was the only one that obeyed.
Okay.
God found favor with him.
Say that again.
God found favor with him.
Okay. Genesis 8, or 6, 8 and 9 says this. I can read it. You don't need to turn there. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. 7, 5 says this. Then Noah and his sons and his wife, then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. There, he obeyed God. He was obedient to God. He had faith in God and was favored. God. What about the women and children caught outside in the flood? Do you think that any of those prior to drowning in the flood remembered what Noah had said?
Did they remember?
Do you think they remember?
Yeah, I think.
Do you think that maybe they were praying for salvation at that point?
I think at that point, but I think it was already done.
Okay.
One thing we have to remember, I believe Noah was in the ark, Noah and his family was in the ark for 7 days before it started raining. A lot of times we get the impression that, okay, they're trying to beat the storm and start to sprinkle. You know, they were in the ark for 7 days before it started raining, and the rest of the people, we don't have it as a record that they did this, but they probably stood outside mocking, jeering,
yeah,
laughing. And then when it did start raining, there was probably some people beating on the door.
Yeah.
Let us in, let us in.
And didn't it say that God sealed the ark?
Yeah.
He sealed him inside once he got in there. So there was nothing he could have done anyway. Noah, personally.
Okay. Once the rain started falling, and you think maybe they started to believe what he was saying?
I'm sure a lot of people did.
I don't think they had a lot of thinking time, because the rain came, but also
the earth was coming up. It all
opened up. I imagine they didn't have a lot of time to think before they were swimming.
Okay.
The fishes.
Okay. But God's a loving God.
How long did it take Noah to build the ark?
Okay, long time.
So they had a long time.
A long time to think about it, didn't they? Had a long time to change their hearts, right? Why did they die? They were outside the ark. Little common sense there. They were outside the ark. That's why they died. They didn't survive. There were only 8 people in the ark. Any other comments?
Well, it does say, just as a reminder, these weren't like semi-good people. The scripture says that their thoughts were on evil continually.
Yep.
That's bad.
And God even said, he had wished he never even created man at that point. How is the Lord's church similar to the ark? The blood-purchased church, Acts 20 and 28. What does Acts 20, 28 say? That he purchased the church with his own blood. How is the church similar to the ark?
That's his church.
Somebody read Colossians. Dave, would you read Colossians 1:18?
Sure.
And somebody want to catch Ephesians 4:4? Kurt, you want to do that? And Ben, would you do Ephesians 5:2? I'll read Acts 2:47 here. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Who's those who are being saved? Whose number? Say the church.
They were being added to the church.
Yep, the Lord was adding. Go ahead, Dave.
One of the things that on that question is you got to almost go back to before when Peter was preaching, because the people said, "What do we need to do to be saved?"
Right.
And so that.
And he said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
And then on to what you read.
And then it went on into this. Yep. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
He's the head of the body, the what?
The church.
The church. What's the body? The church. Ephesians 4:4. Who's got that one?
There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling.
How many bodies? 3 or 4?
One.
See, one. Ephesians 5:2. Who has that one? Ben?
In love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God.
Christ gave himself up for us. Okay. Does anybody see anywhere else? These are just a few verses that I've picked out here of the body. Does anybody else see anywhere else where there's bodies? Bodies. If so, I'd like to see it.
So you're saying in the same way that Noah and his family were saved by one ark, we are saved by one church, that God had provided one way.
The blood-bought church.
One way of salvation for Noah.
That's what I'm saying.
And there is but one way for people to be saved today.
Yes, you're leading into that. That's, go ahead.
Mentions that the body is the church. And Ephesians 1 says, in him or for the Christ is all spiritual blessings. So the body is the church. How do you get into the body? Just like people had to get into the ark to be saved, how do you get into the body? 1 Corinthians 12 says we're baptized into the body.
Okay. Baptized into his death. Did you have your hand up, Birch?
No.
No? Okay. Mike mentioned that the saying, he called it a mantra, on the back of semi-trailers he would see as he'd go around and do his job. Join the church of your choice. Seen that in newspapers. And then they have a list of the local congregations, churches that are in the area. Join the church of your choice. Mike, he says it confused him. He says it was intelligent, it was reasonable, and it was tolerant. And it kind of is. It's kind of so, makes sense. Look at 247, Acts 247 again. I'll read that. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord was adding to their number. We cannot join a church. Can we join a church?
No.
Who said no? Dave says no. Why can't we join a church?
Because we're added by God.
Okay. The Lord adds to the church. His blood-bought church. Acts 20:28 again. His blood-bought church. He adds to it. We can't walk in and say, hey, I'm joining you now. Can we? No.
If you back
no
up.
But you can join the membership.
Right. Now, that's something that we can talk about later. But I'm saying if you're... Boy, Virgil's just throwing a wrench into everything today, aren't you? No, I appreciate that.
It says in verse 41 that those that received his word and were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. So
3,000 souls were added that day. Who did the adding? God did the adding. The Lord did the adding. Virgil?
Well, I was just thinking, they didn't have baptistries, so they went to a water, but 3,000 is a
imagine how dirty that thing would be after 3,000 people were in there. I wouldn't want to be number 2,999. That's all I got to say.
Jimmy Allen came to Denver many years ago before some of the people here were born, and he helped a big campaign, and they rented a coliseum, and when he appealed for people to accept Jesus, they came down. It looked like a Billy Graham event. They had three baptistries down there, and they had many men down there with mops, mopping, because when they came out of the tank, they brought water with them. Quite an event, but I think there was only 200 and some people baptized. 3,000, that is
That's a lot
something.
Of people. A lot of people. That's probably what the size of the town of Eaton, where we live. Say about 3,000. There might be more there. I don't know. But that's quite a few. But there are congregations that big down in the south. A lot of people are here. Okay.
Don't you think there were thousands or millions of people standing there
Probably quite a few.
Yeah, the percentage, I mean, 3,000 compared to how many people heard the message, unfortunately, it's very small.
Okay. Now, to add to what Virgil said a minute ago, you're already added to the church when you're baptized, right? If you go to another congregation, you say, we're going to join the group there. I understand what you're trying to make there. We're talking about somebody who has never been baptized into the blood, into the grave. Okay. So, this is a question that we would want to kind of keep in our minds that we're asking somebody if we're using this comparison. This is kind of an example they've given us. Can we be saved outside the blood-bought in church? If you're outside the church. Could Noah and his family have been saved outside of the ark?
Who else was?
That's right.
That's the trouble between Michael and Randall. Michael wanted a simple yes or no, and Randall didn't give him a yes or a no.
Okay. Yeah, he was trying to pin him down. He says, tell me, yes or no? Are we going to hell? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Are we going to hell? And what was his response? Do you remember? First off.
He's not the judge. I'm not the judge.
Yeah. His response was, I'm not the judge of your soul. And that's true. We are not the judge of the soul. Maybe God, in the end, will say, hey, you're all okay. But according to what we read, I wouldn't take the chance.
Well, that's what he said. He says that a lot of Randall. He says, I'm not saying that the Bible is saying that.
Okay.
And when he tells that to Michael, throughout these few chapters we're coming up to, he has nowhere to go but back into the Bible.
Okay. Yep. I like his response first, though. He says, Kyle says that you're the... He said that you're the only denomination going to heaven and we're all going to hell. Is that a yes or no? And his first response is, we are not a denomination. That's what Randall said. And then his second was, I'm not the judge of your soul. And then what did he do last? What did Randall do last to try to get this diffused? What was his last thing he said to him? How about we get together tonight for a Bible study? How about we get together tonight for a Bible study? So Randall was pretty good at handling those situations. Do you think Randall's been in that situation before? Why is that? Because he's living the life. He's living that life, and that's what he's looking for, is to save souls. He's not walking in on Sunday morning and living it here. He's living it all the time. And that's something that we can learn from Randall through all of this. Any other comments?
Well, and he reminds Mike, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I think, what you think. What matters is what does it say?
Right. Yeah, so many times we can hear people say, well, I think, and I think this, and I think that. It doesn't matter. What is it that God says? I think Ed had mentioned that in a class on a Wednesday night or something you were teaching. I remember this sticking out. It doesn't matter what you think. What is it that God thinks? And that's what's most important. And if we can show people that, what is God thinking? The only thing they can do is either turn away from it completely or be honest with themselves about it. So, Dave.
So often I think for us, we take it as a personal, on ourselves, when someone rejects, kind of attacks, whatever, what we think, what we keep, what we believe, instead of realizing that really they're attacking God. But yet we take it as though they're attacking us. If we're being faithful to Scripture, just say, this is what God says. I'm just the messenger.
Yeah.
If you have an issue, take it up with God. That's kind of what Randall has said is, this is what by going to the Scripture all the time for everything he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying, this is what God says, not what Randall says.
Well, and he studies it, and Randall studied the Scriptures, and studies the Scriptures, I should say, because he knows the context of like the situation in Ephesians. And that's what we should be doing, studying until we can show ourselves approved.
I think, do you think that in this world where we are so fractioned as denominations, and like Virgil said, we're really viewed as a denomination, whether the church, I mean, what we're basically saying is not this group in Windsor, but the church of God, the church of Christ, whatever, that is not a denomination. But I wonder if in this society where we're so fractionated, if like us saying, well, we are not, I don't know, I get like a, we're pretty arrogant kind of, okay. kind of a feeling. It's almost like we should, like, the best way, of course, is to point back to the Bible, but I hate the idea that someone looks at us, because see, from their lenses, we are a denomination.
Okay.
This is our idea.
Are you saying that from their lenses, they're looking at us saying, those people at the Church of Christ think that they are the only ones
yes.
going to heaven, and that they are the right
yes.
church.
So yeah. from their perspective, we are exactly what they think we are. And so how can we, in a not arrogant way, in a not conceited way, or in a way that puts down other denominations, from their perspective, how can I present this amazing salvation that I've been given from the way like we're talking, like this is what the Bible says, and our church didn't think of this. Our church didn't like agree on these, you know, code of conduct or whatever. The Bible is what says this. I don't know, that's a tricky, tricky thing, I think. Because I don't want anybody to think that I look at them and go, well, I've got all the answers. Because you and Elena and so many other people have been on the other side of that. What must we look like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have it figured out. Thank goodness my parents raised me in the truth. They're thinking that same thing.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, I guess I need some help on how
yeah.
to present God's word in a way that is truly
that doesn't
loving
come across,
to all other
well, it needs to come across things. Like Randall did, in that love and that humility way.
Well,
but we have to stand for what is right, what we see is the truth. In
right,
that.
And it's not our idea, it's God's idea.
Exactly.
And we're trying our very
yeah.
best, mistakenly at times, to follow what God has set down.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm the kindergartner.
The kindergartner in the corner wants to speak. Go ahead.
Okay, so
snack time is in 5 minutes.
About what, how Randall diffused the situation is exactly kind of what I would say would be the answer to Kelly's question. Is he said, why don't we study it tonight? He didn't sit there and say, I'm going to take right now because I have a chance right now to defend my position and say why all the reasons that you're wrong. He said, that's a great question. Let's talk about it tonight. Let's set up an appointment. And then
yeah.
he got to go, I don't know, maybe regroup, figure out what he was going to say.
Yeah.
But it's an ongoing discussion between people and Mike. It wasn't like a quick to defend my beliefs conversation, which I think a lot of us get into these days. It's
yeah.
just a Facebook war or like a, you know, face-to-face conversation where we just each defend our position and then we go our ways being angry at the other person.
Well, I will say this, and this is me speaking only. The more I read, the more I study this stuff, I came from the Baptist background. I came out of the denominational world. It solidifies to me, plain and simple, that this is the truth. There's no question about it. And handling that situation, it's a tough one. Because I'm in the same boat. I have parents that are Baptist still. And my dad came from a family of Church of Christ. And the grandfather said, if you don't go to the Church of Christ, you're going to hell. That's what he told him. And so, I mean, he has a wall up with me. I mean, he's not going to hear me. He will not listen.
I wonder if
maybe
it's
one
the difference
day.
In us being wanting to be right or us wanting to know the truth. Because I don't want anyone to see me as I've got it all figured out, but that let's look at what the truth really is. And
yeah.
let's both make sure we've figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And studying together, I think, is the answer.
Yeah.
Sharing.
But here's where the attitude should be. This is my opinion. Our attitude. What did we do on the first day? How many souls were missing here today? If we look at it as a soul, If we look at it as from the perspective, this is a soul that we're trying to show the truth to, instead of, hey, I'm right and you're wrong kind of attitude, it's going to go a lot smoother. It's more of a loving thing. So. All right, we're running a little past, so thanks for coming, and we'll see you next week.
Good job, bro.
Sitting on my hands, man.
Thanks for your comments.